welcome back to this week's On The Pulse podcast for your weekly Galway news. I'm Joshua Byrne, and this morning I'm joined by Lucy Kent, Isaac O'Connor and Grace Hanna. For the first story, we have Social Inclusion Week. So last week in Galway was Social Inclusion Week. And do you want to tell me a bit about it, Isaac?
Yeah, this initiative was designed to shine a spotlight on work being done to boost equality and inclusion across the city. Galway City Council revealed that the theme this year is Just a Minute of Patience, because sometimes a little patience is all it takes to help everyone participate fully. Events were taking place all around the city all week with the aim of highlighting the work of various organisations in Galway, increasing social participation, equality and inclusion in all aspects of society. So it's a great story there by Alan O'Brien.
Yeah, I think it's really important as well because of how diverse a society Galway is. So it's great to have something like this.
Yeah, Galway is such a multicultural city, and I think weeks like this past week really reflect how we can all come together and sort of celebrate and acknowledge that.
Yeah, definitely. So the next one we have, this was big news in politics. Mairead Farrell was named the first female chair of the Public Accounts Committee. Lucy, I think you're going to tell us a little bit about that.
So we have a story by Ella Horrigan, and she wrote it up on the Galway West TD, Mairead Farrell. She's been appointed chair of, the Public Accounts Committee. She's the first female chair of the committee and the first from the West of Ireland. So speaking following her appointment, the Sinn Féin TD said, "It is a great honour to not only be the first ever woman chair of the Public Accounts Committee, but also the first chair from the West of Ireland." So Deputy Farrell replaces Brian Stanley following her resignation from Sinn Féin amid the controversy.
Yeah, I think this is huge news in politics, especially for the West of Ireland. Following that Brian Stanley resignation, I think Sinn Féin wanted to keep Public Accounts Committee within the party, the chair of the Public Accounts Committee. So yeah, I think it's great representation for the West of Ireland, really, because she's the first chair from the West of Ireland and the first female chair of the committee as well. So yeah, I think we have some vox pops, Grace, now.
Yeah, so with the general election seems to be the buzzword in the news this week regarding when voting will actually take place. As of right now, there is no date set in stone, but Simon Harris has said that people would know it at least 3 weeks in advance, and that he does like the idea of a Friday election. Some of the current dates being thrown around are Friday the 22nd or Friday the 29th, but time will tell. With the date release just around the corner, Scott and Shauna from the podcast team took to Shop Street to ask people what they're looking for in this year's candidates and what their top issues are.
We're just wondering, with the upcoming general election, or possibility of it, is there anything in particular that you're looking for from candidates?
Oh, well, just to address the housing situation, you know. I have my son, who's in his 30s, back living at home, you know, so I just think he just feels he has no chance of, you know, getting a house, you know. He's panicking at this stage, so that would be my main concern.
I suppose the crucial thing is definitely a lack of parking around college. I think every other parking space that you see is for staff only, and there can't be more staff than there is students in the college, so that'd definitely be a prime thing, because it kind of minimises the able to use your car to go into college, especially for people coming longer distances. I'd say that'd definitely be at the top of it.
I'd appreciate if candidates would address the CAS report properly, address the National Gender Service for what it is, appreciate that Ireland is the country in the European Union with the worst trans healthcare, and that's not okay, that's unacceptable, and no one's talking about it.
Transparency, I suppose, I don't know, somebody we could trust, a trustful, politician, somebody to run the country, that type of thing, yeah.
Well, housing would be a big thing for me, I'm currently still renting, so is a mortgage going to be in my 5-year future?
Yeah.
Maybe not, realistically not. I have a partner, they're a teacher, I run a business in town, that's not even possible for us, never mind students.
I'd like more focus on social development and social housing, providing more equal opportunities for people in terms of education, rather than doing kind of fluffy stuff like the €9 million for phone pockets or the doll bike shed. I think we can spend our money a bit more wisely, in fairness.
It's no surprise there that among the chief concerns of voters is housing. We've heard about housing all week or all year. It's been the primary issue that's been brought numerous times. But something I also think is interesting is that parking was mentioned, because we know that a few weeks ago, a recent article published by the Irish Times stated that under the public sector climate action mandate, the government will require universities nationwide to phase out on-campus parking, where public transport options are available all around university grounds. So we know that students didn't like this, so it's no surprise to see that there either, really.
Mm. And what do we think about that here in the room?
I am concerned that the public transport will not get better and the parking will go, so it'll just be as it was, or worse even, because you lose the opportunity to drive.
I have never experienced clumping like I've experienced it in Galway. It's a different level and compared to the whole of Ireland, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they're just so fear. They're so hot on it, like it's crazy. In the likes of Cork, you just get a parking ticket, but here they're really on it.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing with students now, especially students who live kind of maybe a 40-45 minute commute away from Galway, because they're just like the public transport options just aren't there. So the only option they really have is the car. So if they can't park it in the college, then you know, I think there has to be some sort of parking solution there. Next one we have is some healthcare education news. So this is a big one, really, especially with the amount of healthcare professionals we need in Ireland. So I think Grace is going to take us through this.
So in a piece reported by Jamie Curley, the government has announced plans to expand their healthcare courses in the University of Galway with two new degrees. The first one is a pharmacy degree, which is a 5 years master's programme, which will provide 45 places in the first year of entry and then 75 places after. The second degree is a new graduate medicine course, which is 4 years programme offering an accelerated pathway into medicine for graduates. Dates for the first intake are currently being confirmed, but I do think that this is definitely a step in the right direction. This news actually follows the announcement of 80 new third level veterinary medicine places to be provided by SETU and ATU.
Yeah, I think this is massive news, really. Like I said, especially with the amount of healthcare professionals we need in Ireland, so that we can actually, I suppose, instead of outsourcing, we can, you know, train them here and have people maybe come over to Ireland and take part in these courses, and obviously just kind of feed into our medical system from there.
Yeah, it's definitely like an issue that we've known for years. Like, I know some people, when we were in leaving certs, like going abroad to study medicine was their first plan. It wasn't even their like backup or anything, because they just knew their chances were so slim and they wanted some certainty with that. So it's nice to see like more healthcare courses being made available to students.
There's been some like horror stories of people getting the full 65 and the HPAT and still not getting a place in medicine, which is just like, that's simply just not on.
Yeah.
I know this September alone, I know there was 130 students who went to study in Poland. So it is good that we are seeing that government push to get these courses in.
Yeah, the next thing we have is Leo Singan's Galway West constituency profile. So he wrote up everything you need to know about the Galway West profile. And this is kind of in preparation for the potential general election that we will have this side of Christmas. So there's been a lot of rumours and the election dates are spinning around at the moment. So yeah, he wrote up a piece on that to get us all familiar with the Galway West constituency.
Yeah, I think it's really useful to have these like profiles, because like we pretend we know everything, but it's nice to have it all laid out section by section for each constituency, like just focusing in on that, what the voters are saying, who's running, and what are the main issues facing them.
Especially for the likes of like the younger voters, like we're just newly registered, you know, it's one of our first elections. Like I'm still learning very much so these are great help.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think, Grace?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like I know myself, I need to educate myself a lot more before I do cast my vote this year. So it's great to see that coverage.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have now the sports, so we can do a review of the Galway United game from the weekend just gone, and a review of the Connacht Ulster game as well. So these were two huge games. In obviously Galway United, near the end of their season, went up to Inchicore to play St. Patrick's Athletic. I was actually at this game, and it was a great game of football. St. Pat's played a lot of really good football. Galway kind of grew into the game. St. Pat's had a lot of possession, that was expected. They were at home, obviously. They kind of make that that ground there at Inchicore a bit of a fortress, especially since Stephen Kenny came in. Yeah, so Galway, or St. Patrick's Athletic, sorry, went 1-0 up through Aidan Keena in the second half. Then Ed McCarthy scored for Galway with probably a goal of the season contender. I was right behind it, actually. I just seen it hit off the post and go in, and Joey Anang in goal for St. Patrick's Athletic had no chance, really. Yeah, unlucky Galway were to not come away with anything from that game. It was a tough trip up to Dublin. And yeah, Aidan Keena scored twice for St. Patrick's Athletic. Two great goals. They played a lot of great football. And I mean, for Galway, it was a valiant effort, really, because of the form St. Patrick's Athletic are in. Obviously, they have one of the best managers in the league in Stephen Kenny. So yeah, they have a huge game coming up against Sligo Rovers, which they'll be hoping to win, obviously, to get into possibly a European spot. And like our colleague said in the podcast last week, if you had asked John Caulfield whether Galway United would be in contention for a European spot at this stage of the season, he'd have bit your hand off. So yeah. Then we have the Connacht Ulster game. So Connacht in the URC this season are really the team you want to watch if you're looking for entertaining rugby. Their games seem to be pretty crazy. So yeah, this was the first of two Interpro derbies. So obviously they have a game against Leinster coming up. But yeah, the Connacht Ulster game was in line with Connacht's kind of season, was a bit mental. So Ulster obviously hit the front kind of early on. They had a great first half, and Connacht came back in that game. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough for Connacht. But they have two wins and two losses this season. They've actually picked up five bonus points as well. So they picked up two losing bonus points against Ulster in that last game. So despite, I suppose, not picking up the wins against Ulster and against Munster, they still have, you know, started the season pretty well. So I think Isaac is going to take us through something Halloween related now.
Yes, yeah, so now with Halloween coming this Thursday night, there are a number of celebrations across Galway. One in particular is the wildly popular Machmas Halloween Parade, which will return this year. Normally brings around 80,000 spectators onto the street. I personally have never been there, but it sounds like it could be the standout event of the Halloween season.
Well, speaking about festivities, I don't mean to be the person to mention the C word, but did anyone see the Christmas lights being put up this week in Eyre Square and down Shop Street?
Yes. Way too early, in my opinion. Mm. Now, we have to say they have not been turned on.
No.
But we are still looking at them, and our brains are still thinking Christmas, and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm wearing for Halloween. So
exactly, yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think Christmas is just, especially on Halloween as well, it's just too early every single year now.
First, really.
With stuff in the shops, obviously, I know it's like, you know, the whole corporate thing and everything in early, but yeah.
We're starting to see it now, though, whether we like it or not, we're seeing it.
Well, I suppose when I was in school in Mullingar, the Christmas lights would stay up and on till like March. So because the council just wouldn't take them down. There was I suppose like you were going into school in like March, like thinking of summer, and the Christmas lights are still
on. They're just keeping the spirit alive,
I just think the golden rule is always November 1st. Like, that's when Christmas can begin, but until then, it's October.
Yeah.
It's not.
Let Halloween happen first, maybe.
Even that's a stretch. I feel like it used to be December 8th.
But that's when Mariah Carey starts climbing the charts. It's like November 1st, so then you kind of have to just, like, sit back and just let it happen at that point, I think.
Mm. What do we think, actually, about that December 8th, Culture Christmas? Is that something your family's... would have done?
I have no idea what.
I think we're
out of the loop here.
Part of that without even knowing the title because we put up our decorations on the 8th. So
Well, traditionally, a lot of people went up to Dublin to shop on December the 8th. A lot of people from the country. People kind of got dubbed Culture Christmas.
Oh, because that's when they'd get it. Mm. They'd
go up to the big,
maybe,
the big smoke.
I'd say dubbed it by dubs, so.
All right, so that's everything for today, for this week's episode of On the Pulse. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.